This summer, I've been working through a sermon series that I've titled WWWG, Women Wrestling with God. And so we started at the beginning of the summer, and we looked at Sarah, and she laughed when God told her she would have a baby. So we looked at the story of Naomi, who was Esther's mother-in-law. And we looked at Damaris, who was one of the converts in Athens when Paul preached there. So after a three-week hiatus, we return now to that sermon series, and we look this morning at the person Martha, who was sister to Mary, and we look at two different places that we find a little bit more about her story. And so I will start this morning with Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So let us listen together for God's word. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her."
Second reading is from John 1. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, and then 17 to 27. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, through Jesus, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." When Jesus arrived, this is the second part. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said back to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
Let's be together in prayer. Beloved God, you called us here today, and we give you thanks for this morning, for the music, for your word. Help us to put away things that might preoccupy us. Help us to center it and focus on your word, that we might see and understand and be transformed in you. So let me start this morning by sharing a conflict that I've had recently. I was at the video store, and I was very excited because I had watched all of the other Harry Potter movies, and the new one at the time had just come out, the Deathly Hallows Part 1. I have not seen the second one, so please don't tell me anything about it if you have seen it already. But at the time I was in the video store, the Deathly Hallows Part 1 had just come out. So I rented the DVD, and I brought it home, and I got myself a turkey sub at the sandwich place, and I put the DVD in, and I pulled up the TV tray, and I put my feet up just getting ready to relax and watch my movie. But of course, 5 minutes in, the screen froze. And so I said, okay, fine, it's a scratch. So I just forwarded to the next scene, and everything was fine for another minute or two, and then it froze. And then it froze, and then it froze again. This has happened to you, right? So I blew on the thing and tried to work the hell out. Nothing seemed to work. So I was discouraged and frustrated. My night was ruined until I remembered that I have cable. And cable has pay-per-view, and pay-per-view probably had this movie too. So I dialed up the pay-per-view menu, and there it was. Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows Part 1, the evening was saved. I continued with my turkey sub, I put my feet up, and I just enjoyed myself. But the next day, I went back to that video store, and I went up to the worker and I said, I don't know, something's wrong with it. It's got a scratch or something. And he said, I'm sorry, sir. Let me take a look for you. So he dialed up my account and he found out that I was the first one to watch that movie. It was a brand new DVD. And then he put it in his DVD player and of course it worked flawlessly, right? So I said, you know, I don't know what to say. I rented the video and it didn't work and now I'm hoping to get my money back. Last night I watched it on pay-per-view because I didn't feel like driving all the way to my actor. Can I get my money? And he said, I'm sorry, sir, that's not our policy. We allow you to get the same movie with the same title, or you can just let it go. Well, it's $4. I'm not going to let that go. So I said, well, I don't want to let it go. And I've already seen the money, and I don't think I should have to pay for a broken DVD. And he said, well, you're the first one to rent it. It's brand new. And as we saw, it worked flawlessly. Maybe it's your DVD player. Now, he had crossed the boundary. This is my DVD player. Right? This is not my fault. My blood began to boil. My blood pressure rose. I took a deep breath and I said, well, you know, I don't think it is my DVD player. All I know is I rented the video, I didn't see it, and now you won't give me my money back. It was a full-on conflict now. And he said, well, you could have driven back here at 8 o'clock at night to get another video. We could have walked you through it. You didn't have to watch it on paper. I said, are you kidding me? You're going to nickel and dime me like this? And that started. And we went back and forth, and we hemmed and hawed, and finally, he gave in. And he said, fine, if you insist, next time you come in, you'll have a free credit. You can watch any DVD you want for free. I said, fine, thank you very much. Have a nice day. I wasn't as diplomatic as maybe I should have been, but I left. And I went home, and I was determined to prove him wrong. It wasn't my DVD player, so I got home. And I got a few DVDs, and I put the first one in the DVD player, and you know what happened, right? It froze. And then it froze and froze again, and then I put another DVD in, and it froze, and it froze, and it froze again. You know that feeling you get when you know that it was your fault. So the next day, I went back to the video store, and there was the same worker behind the counter. And I said, you were right. It was totally my fault. Please take the credit off my account. And then the hard part, right? Through clenched teeth, probably I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the trouble I caused. Now, it was a sort of a rather mundane daily sort of conflict that we probably all had. What was interesting about this one is that before this conflict, this video store worker and I had seen each other dozens of times. I had rented many videos from this fellow over the years, and we didn't know each other's names. And every time we saw each other, we treated each other like strangers. But now when I go in, he knows me, and I know him, and we have this sort of growing relationship. It's interesting. There's an interesting principle here, I think, that came out of the conflict. It started a relationship, not in spite of the conflict, but because of the conflict. And the principle, I think, is this. That conflict, healthy conflict anyway, but conflict can be a doorway, a gateway to wisdom and life gifts and life's lessons and even deeper relationship. There's conflict all over the place, isn't there? We have conflict at work and conflict at home. We have conflicts with our spouses and our kids and our neighbors. It's conflict, conflict, conflict. And I bet you most of us here can come up with sort of a long list rather quickly of the conflicts, both big and little, that we've had in our lives over the past week. Now, there's at least two things, important things, I think, that I've come to know about conflict. The first thing is that we don't like it. You know, most of us do not like conflict very much at all. We avoid it like the plague, and when we find ourselves in the midst of conflict, we try to get out of it as quickly as we possibly can, because it's challenging, and it's painful, and it can produce a tremendous amount of anxiety. We just don't like conflict. And the second important thing that I've come to know about conflict is that there's healthy conflict, and then there's unhealthy conflict. And many of our conflicts are unhealthy. And by unhealthy, I mean the kind of conflict that tears down, that divides, that breaks us apart and breaks apart our relationships. As opposed to healthy conflict, I think, which builds us up, which brings us forward in a new way and to a better way, and oftentimes to a deeper place than we were before. So there's healthy conflict and there's unhealthy conflict. You ever had a conflict that was unhealthy? You know, that you got so mad at something or somebody that all of a sudden it's not about that thing anymore and it's about the person. You know, and you want their head. You know, you want to do what you can to get back at them. You know, I've felt that feeling before. I've been involved in unhealthy conflicts in my life. And like most of us, I like to run from conflict when I can. I like to get out of conflict as much as I possibly can. Which is exactly why I wanted to preach this sermon this morning. Because I know that conflict can be challenging and produce anxiety and can be unhealthy a lot of times. But also because I know that conflict can bring us to a better place than we were before if we learn how to be in conflict in a healthy way. So I thought about Martha. Little old Martha, who we come to know a few times in Scripture, and we come to know that Martha was not afraid of conflict. And she wasn't even afraid of conflict with Jesus. And because she wasn't afraid of conflict, she grows in some major ways. She gets wisdom and truth and knowledge and deeper relationship, not in spite of conflict, but because of it. So this morning I invite us to take just a few minutes to think about Martha a little bit. Now Martha, we find in three different stories in Scripture. She comes to us in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, which you just read. She also comes to us twice in the Gospel of John. And in two of those three stories, Martha intentionally engages in conflict with Jesus. She purposefully engages in conflict with Jesus. So in the first story from Luke chapter 10, she is at home with her sister Mary. So Mary and Martha are sisters and they live together. And Jesus comes over to visit them. Now, as was the custom, hospitality was really, really important in that culture. And so Martha runs around the house preparing meals and cleaning and doing all the things that a good host is supposed to do, while Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and learns from him and doesn't help with any of the tasks. Which is annoying in and of itself for Martha, but we also have to understand that there's some cultural issues here. It was the male's role in that time to sit at the feet of the master and to learn. So Mary is being male here, which probably did not help Martha's mood at all. She was crossing some gender roles there. So, overworked and angry, Martha decides that she's going to go up and she's going to look at Jesus straight in the eye and say to him these words. Lord, you do not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her then to help me. And it's clear here that Martha is angry at Mary, but we have to make sure we don't overlook the fact that Martha is mad at Jesus, too. You know, he says to her, in effect, or she says to him, in effect, I'm being a good host here. I'm doing all that I'm supposed to do when it comes to hospitality. You're not being a good guest. It's pretty pointed. Right? She gives it to him both barrels. She's going toe-to-toe with Jesus here. Let's hold on to that for a minute while we look at the next story from Luke's Gospel. Or John's Gospel. So it's a very different sort of story. And Lazarus is ill, and he is the brother of Martha and Mary. So when he falls ill, Martha and Mary send word to Jesus, who was some distance away, saying, come on, help, heal, come and take care of my brother. Problem is that Jesus delays. He waits two full days before returning to Bethany to help Lazarus. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus is already dead. Now, Martha was sad, she had lost her brother, but she's also really mad at Jesus because it took so long for him to get there. And so when he comes into town, she again marches right up to him, toe to toe, even looks him straight in the eye, and she gives him these words: "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Which is the same thing as saying, "Jesus, you killed my brother." She lays that on him pretty clearly. It's uncomfortable, right, to see someone go so intentionally at Jesus like that. I don't know about you, but I was raised to think that Jesus was perfect, without blemish, sort of beyond reproach, holy and righteous. My job was to follow Jesus, was to worship him and to praise him and to sing songs about him and to walk around in eggshells, maybe, not to question Jesus, and certainly not to yell at him like Martha does. Martha maybe was raised a bit differently than I was, because she decides that she is going to yell at him. She's going to enter intentionally into conflict with him. But here's what we learned, because she did, and this is the gift of Martha. Because Martha risks conflict with Jesus, Jesus surprisingly meets her anger not with anger. He meets her with a teacher's spirit, with love, and he moves her from where she was to a new and to a better place. So in the story from Luke, where Mary is not doing any of the work that she should be doing, Martha goes and yells at Jesus, and Jesus uses that opportunity to say, "Yes, Martha, work is important. Hospitality and what you're doing is important, but so is spending time on your spiritual life. So is spending time with me. Don't forget that." And in the story of Lazarus, when she goes and yells at Jesus for letting her brother die, Jesus uses that as an opportunity to deepen her faith and so that she can come to see him in new ways as the resurrection and the life. And this happens for two reasons. This dynamic that bears such fruit in Martha's life and so our lives, I think, it happens for two reasons. The first is that Martha had the courage to resist conflict with Jesus. And second, that Jesus receives her anger in a healthy way and doesn't meet it with anger back and doesn't try to put her in her place and try to, you know, whip her back into shape, but meets her where she is and uses that as an opportunity to teach her something new. Give her new wisdom and new truth and a deeper relationship with him and a deeper path to discipleship. There's conflict all over the place in our lives, I think. Everywhere we go, and no matter how far and how fast we run away from it, it always seems to find us, doesn't it? So it seems to me, in thinking about it this week, that the best thing for us to do is to increase our tolerance for to learn how to deal better with conflict, not to run from it, not to try to escape from it as quickly as possible, but how to be better conflict managers and how to deal with our anger in a healthy way that builds people up and builds communities up rather than ripping them apart and dividing them. So this may seem a little silly to recommend this morning, and my third grade Sunday school teacher would probably cringe to hear me say this, but I think that the lesson from Martha is that as disciples of Jesus, we need to learn how to fight better with God. That we need to learn how to fight better with God. I know there's some things I've been mad at Jesus about over the years. There's some things right now that I'm mad at Jesus about the hunger, about the fact that we need to have school supply drives, and the reason the economy is the way that it is, and that people are hungry. I'm mad about all of that stuff, but I don't think for a moment that Jesus wants me to tiptoe around on eggshells and not to share any of that, just to smile and nod. I think that God wants the whole me and the real me and even, yes, the angry me. I think God wants me to be in conflict if that's what I need to be. So I think that, as your pastor, I love you. Thank you. And I wrestled with this passage all week long, and I think the best thing that I can say this morning is I think that what God wants for us to do is to learn how to wrestle better with God, to give our whole selves to God, not only for our benefit, you see, but because when we give our junk to God, God will take that and deal with it in a healthy way and bring us to a new and healthy place. And that becomes a pattern for us, not only in our relationships with God, but in our relationships with our friends and our neighbors and our families and our loved ones and with the whole world. So it is, I think, by arguing with God and starting in that relationship that we learn how to increase our tolerance for conflict and to deal with conflict in a better way. So the homework is kind of fun, right? Go out in the backyard and, you know, yell at the top of your lungs if you need to do that. Give God some of the stuff you've been angry about, maybe for a long time, but have been afraid to say anything. Go and yell at God and see how God responds to you with love and with instruction and with truth and with wisdom. Because, you know, sometimes it is in healthy conflict, not in spite of it, but because of it, that we're moved to a new and better place, into a deeper relationship even with our God. May you wrestle this week as God continues.